greetings to you this morning in the precious and lovely name of Jesus. It's been a blessing to be here to worship with you. What better place to be on a Sunday than in the house of God with God's people and worshiping the name that is above all names. Have quite a few, quite a bit of relatives in this group here this morning, and see you some, but not real often. So it's nice to be here with you and worship with you. Just invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We are running a little bit late on time already, and I was debating about whether to read this whole chapter or read just several verses. But I've decided to read the entire chapter of 2 Timothy 3 here. I'd like to like for you to hear these verses, hear these words, and to especially hear the context of this chapter, these verses. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men's of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, with what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. May God bless the reading of His word. I wanted to mention, it's nice to have Conrad's here this morning. Thank you for your presence, some home folk in support with us this morning. So we appreciate it. Thank you for being here. I wonder this morning, wonder how many Bibles we have here this morning. Would you hold up your Bible? Look around if you want to. All the children holding your Bible up. That's good. That's good. We have lots of these. We have lots of Bibles. I've chosen this morning to speak about the Word of God. It's been several years ago now, I think. I was reading a story. I was reading an article. And I, as I read, I think the story, the place was China. And as Brother Jerry prayed this morning, praying for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted in other countries and who do not have the Word of God freely. This story gave account of how these Christians they were being persecuted, and so they had church in houses, and the Word of God was not readily available. In fact, if you had a page or two in your possession, it was a wonderful thing. And these people, as they came in, some of them actually received Bibles that they could have and read. And it was such the most awesome possession. And as they received a copy for the first time in their life to have the Word of God in their hands, they just wept and wept over the fact that they were holding a complete Bible in their hands. Think about that. And you and I believe probably all of us, have had the privilege to be raised in a Christian home. A lot of us have, maybe not everybody here this morning. But we've had the book of all books in our possession. We have lots of them laying around here and there, some not being used, some that of course we use. But we've been taught Bible verses in going to school, passages. And that's one reason why I use the King James Version, is because there's passages, there's verses in here that are in my heart. And when I read another translation, it's not that I have something wrong with the translation, but it's these verses are dear to me and special to me. We've been raised that way. And we take the Word of God for granted that we can have this Bible, these Bibles in our possession, and know and read it and know what God's will is for us. And I'm convicted of that. We take this, the Word of God, for granted. And our brothers and sisters across the seas would love to have, a lot of them would love to have a copy of God's Word. Bless those organizations who are working tirelessly to translate into languages, a lot of languages. I'd like to hone in on verse 16 in our passage this morning. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Brother Mark made a comment that caught my attention. He said something about, seems like things are getting just worse and worse and worse in our world. I agree. It seems that way. Everywhere we turn, it seems like what's right is being challenged and just being bombarded on every side. And it says very clearly in our passage, in our text this morning, it says that this know also that in the last days, perilous times, that word perilous, if I can find it, if I can maybe start following my notes here. Perilous times. This word means hard times, difficult times, times that will stretch you, times that are rough and hard. Perilous times, it says, will come. And I believe they are here. And in a world that is changing, constantly changing, and like I said before, being challenged on every side about things that are right, things that we stand for. We as Christians need something that doesn't move, something that's solid, something that's firm. And I present that to you this morning. And the Word of God does not change. It abides forever. It abides forever. All Scripture, it says. I believe that to mean from one cover to the other cover. Every word, every line, every detail. Think of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How is your Bible? How is the Word of God? How is this book, the book of all books, how is it different from other books. I have 7 points I'd like to make. Try to do these as quickly as possible. Number one, the Bible is the Word of God. It is God-inspired. It is God-breathed. It is God's inspiration. It is not man's contrivance or wit or intellect. It's not that. Consider these points as we consider the Word of God. You don't need to turn to these verses, but consider these verses as I read them. Isaiah 40, verse 22. It is He, Isaiah wrote this, it is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Now, how did Isaiah know in 700 BC, 700 years before Christ, that the earth was round? The scientists of Isaiah's day thought the earth was flat. They didn't know the earth was round until around the 1500s, when Magellan sailed around the world. How did Isaiah know 2,000 years before? Job 26, verse 7. Just going to take a few verses out. There's a lot that could be said. But Job 26, verse 7. And hangeth the earth. It's part of, I'm just reading the last part of the verse. But he says this. And hangeth the earth upon nothing. During the time of Job, people believed a god by the name of Atlas held the earth on his shoulders. Nobody believed the earth hangeth on nothing. How did Job know a fact that was impossible to know during his day? Psalm 8, verse 8. Whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas, David is saying. Whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. After reading this verse, Matthew Murray, a U.S. naval officer, set out to locate these curious paths of the sea. He discovered the oceans have paths which flow through them. He became known as a pathfinder of the seas, is how he became known. How did David know over 2,000 years ago that there were paths in the sea? It is highly probable that David never saw an ocean. How did he know? Right, one of the closest ones to us is the Gulf Stream. Get in the boat and just drift and get caught in the Gulf Stream. It'll take you right to where it wants to go. The Bible is composed of 66 books written in about 15 different countries by nearly 40 writers who occupied different stations. From king who sat on a throne to captive in a heathen land. From educated Moses and Paul to the unlearned Peter and Paul. And yet through it all, there is an impressive harmony that shows the mastermind of God who orchestrated it and inspired all of it. 2 Peter 1:21 says, For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Number two, how is the Bible different? Is the only message in a book form given as a direct revelation from God to man. In it we see clearly God's will for man. Number three, it is absolutely reliable. It is entirely and eternally true. It has never been compelled to reverse itself or change its message because of later revelations of science. Never had to. Number four, it is infallible, which means it is incapable of error. Number five, it is different than any other book because of its prophecies. There are over 300 prophecies fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. There are many that are written thousands of years before Jesus was born. Precise, detailed prophecies such as where he would be born, and how he would be born, and how he would die. History has proven that they were fulfilled exactly as they were prophesied. Number 6. It is eternal. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Luke 21:33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. In Isaiah 40:8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Number 7. Excuse me. It is the final authority. Man can choose to believe whatever he wants, but it will never change what it says or remove its authority. Seven ways in which the Bible is different from any other book. No book has ever been put to the severe test that the Bible has. Through the ages, men have tried to stamp out the book through fire and sword. Robert Ingersoll, the famous agnostic, once held up a Bible and predicted, in 15 years, I'll have this book in a morgue. But within 15 years, Robert was in the morgue and the book was still alive. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We could all say this verse by heart. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Why don't we just say this verse together, all of us together? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'd like to look at this verse just for a moment. The word of God is quick. This word quick, your Bible, different translation, will have a different word there perhaps. Does not mean that it's fast. It is at times. It can convict you instantly. But this word means that it's living, that it's alive, that it has life, that it's a lively book. And you have been blessed, I know you have, as you've heard stories of, you know, the Gideons have lots of stories and how they place Bibles at different places, you know, all over the country, motels and wherever they do that, every place they get a chance. But you've heard stories about how people were at the end of themselves. They were perhaps done with life. They were ready to commit suicide. And they got a copy of God's Word, and they read that book. And that book, the Bible, sparked something within their heart. It awoke them to a consciousness. And the Spirit of God came at that moment and convicted them and drew them. And that book, because of reading the Bible, because of its content and its message, the message of Jesus, the message of life, it brought life to them. Wonderful stories of people in the gutter of sin being lifted out and becoming a man of God. That's the Bible. It's quick. It's alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful. You think of the word powerful, I wonder what comes to your mind. You know, we can only think about, you know, we're here on this earth, and so we can only think of earthly things, basically. And so I don't know what came to your mind as you thought of power, but you know, some huge machinery, perhaps, maybe one of the biggest bulldozers, earth movers that there are. tremendous power. I saw a track hole one time in Arkansas when we lived out there that you could have drove a car into the bucket. That's how big it was. Tremendous, tremendous power. Our minds go there. Well, while we lived in Arkansas, I saw a display of power perhaps like I've never seen before. We worked at Hillcrest, and right down from Hillcrest, for those of you who have been there, is a cemetery, Maplewood Cemetery. While we were there, Leona was going to a doctor, and that was for Brad, is that right? Yeah, she was expecting the baby and was going to the doctor. And the doctor was a reserve in the U.S. In the Air Force. He was also a private pilot, and he flew his plane on a trip that he was on. It was cloudy, and he flew his plane into a guy wire off a tower and was killed, wrecked his plane. So he was buried in Maplewood Cemetery just down the road from Hillcrest. And we heard that he's going to, you know, what day the funeral is going to be, and heard that they're going to have I would guess you would call it kind of a lavish funeral. All the honors that go with military. And so we decided that we were going to play be little mice and watch from a distance. So we got in a truck and we went up there. And we parked, you know, a good ways from the cemetery where he was buried there. We just observed what went on. And it was real. It was elaborate. The coffin was carried by a horse-drawn cart down through the little lanes there. And then, you know, the military honors, they fold the flag. There's a playing of taps, is that right? Something like that. You know, real... It was something to observe. And then everything just got quiet and everybody held still for a moment. And nothing happened. We were watching and wondering what's going to come on, or what's going to take place. And we heard a noise and didn't know what the noise was at first. And the noise got louder and louder until you couldn't help but look up. And we looked up out of the truck. And here was the most massive plane. It was a B-52 bomber. If you know anything about planes, and I don't know much, but I know it was a big plane. And it came, it was a flyover because he was of the Air Force. He flew over. It came right across the graveside. And it was loud even then. But as it went over the grave and went out beyond, the pilot must have poured everything that he had into those engines, because he just pushed that thing down and everything around us, it became so loud with the noise, it seemed like everything around me was just jumping. It was incredible the amount of force or power that was displayed right there. It was incredible sound. I don't know if I've ever heard a sound like it ever. And you couldn't help but look at the coffin. Look at the grave and think, if ever a man is going to come out of the grave, if he's going to wake up, it'll be right at that moment. But you know what? It stayed right there, just calm. And yet our Lord Jesus stood at a tomb, the tomb of Lazarus, his friends, and the words of Jesus spoke these words, "Lazarus, come forth." And you know what? He came out of that grave. The words of our Lord. Our same Jesus stood on a boat when the winds were howling and the waves were just going crazy and spoke these words, "Peace, be still." And it calmed right down. The words of God. The Word of God is powerful. Powerful. And when you miss the Word of God, when you miss reading His Word, when you miss drinking it in day after day after day,
what happens? You lose power. And the opposite is true. When you drink in, when you take in the Word of God, fresh and new every day, what does it do? It gives you power. It gives you strength. Yes, it does.
It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God will lay you bare. The Word of God will cut. And it says a two-edged sword. Two-edged. It's sharp on both sides. In the military, in the army, when they fought with those, this way, that way, no matter which way you went, it would get you. Coming and going. And the Word of God, it's like a mirror. It'll show your heart. It'll show you exactly how what you look like. Your heart and how you stand before God. It presents truth to you. It presents truth to us. And that's exactly what happened in Acts. When you recall the account, this is right after the Pentecost, and the Spirit came upon everyone. And they were speaking in other languages, in other tongues. And they supposed that they had been drunk, that they had had too much wine. And you remember the account, Peter stood up and he started preaching. And he preached a powerful message about Jesus and who he was. And then he comes with this. He comes with these words. As Peter does not spare. To his crowd, he does not spare the truth. He comes at it just right straight on. He says this in Acts. It says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And after that it says they were pricked in their heart. Now that word sounds kind of meager. Have a little prick. And I had that done to me one time when I was a boy. I went to the doctor. I had a rash on my body that was very bad. And the doctor wanted to take a blood sample. And I think my mom, if I told her today, she'd probably laugh at what happened, but the doctor went, I had no clue what was going to happen. He went and pricked me on my finger to draw blood, and I had no clue it was going to hurt. I just about jumped off the chair. But this word pricked in their heart does not mean that. This word pricked means to pierce throughly. And then later in Acts 5:33 it says the Jews once again were cut to the heart. It laid it apart, laid it right out for how it was. As you and I read the Word of God, as we pray and as we seek His face, it will show us exactly how we are. And these people, the Jews, had a choice at that point. They had a choice. You can either run from the truth. You can say, this is not me. Deny the truth. Walk away from it. Walk away from what God is telling you. Or you can walk towards the truth and embrace it and become who God intends you to be. I'd like to think now for a moment. What is the proper response as we read the Word of God day after day, as we study its pages, as we read these verses, the Word of God, what's the proper response for us? We don't have time. But 2 Kings gives a wonderful account of, I want to say Josiah. I think that's right. Maybe I should just turn there right quick. Um, King Josiah. This is 2 Kings 22. Yes, King Josiah had given the orders to upgrade the house of the Lord. There was work being done in the house, in the temple. And as they were doing this, they found the law of the Lord. They found their Bible. They found the law of God. And in 2 Kings 22, verse 8, it says, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of God, of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes." We'll stop right there. Why did he rent his clothes? And what's the proper response for us as we read the Word of God? I believe he rent his clothes because he trembled. He knew there was truth there. He knew the commandments of the Lord. He knew that his people had strayed away from what God had called them to do. The way they were chosen to live. The way they were told how to live. He trembled. And so a proper response, I believe, for us today is to believe it. Believe every word. But it's much more than just believing, because there's obedience that follows. If one truly, truly believes the words that he reads when he reads the Bible, he will follow that with obedience. What's a wrong response to the Word of God? If you turn over to Jeremiah, you will find the account that Jeremiah is in prison. He has a word from the Lord to give to the king, and Barak writes it down. And take it in to him in his court in the wintertime. You'll have to read that account for yourself. But as these words were read to the king, he took a penknife and cut the pages out of the Bible and threw them into the fire until they were completely gone. You know, today, in today's the world which we are living in, it seems like that's fairly common. For people to, oh yes, certain parts of the Bible, absolutely, you know, you agree with, and you, the rest, you know, the parts that are even easily to be understood, and in my opinion, need no interpretation. You can read it literally for what it says, because it goes against how they want to live, and it goes against their flesh. They do, in reality, what the king did. They take and cut that part out and burn it and say, this is not for me. This was for another time. This was for another people, and it's not for me. I'd like to bring this to a close. I'd like for you to turn to Revelation. Go, turn to the last page in your Bible. Revelation 22. And we want to read three verses. And to me, this is a very serious warning, a very stiff warning. Listen to these verses in Revelation 22:17. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book.
If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. To me, what this is saying is that it's telling us here this morning that this word of God is sufficient. It's complete. And it will, as we read the word of God, and as we apply it to our lives in every way possible, and it is the rule of our life, then I believe it will be for us like our text. It says in verse 17 in 2 Timothy there, it says that the man of God may be perfect. And that word means complete. He's complete in all of his life. I believe in body, in soul, and in spirit. He's complete in Christ through the Word of God. He's complete. He's thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He has all he needs. He is well equipped. He has everything he could possibly need through Jesus. And that's my prayer for you this morning. So I ask you, how much time did you spend reading God's Word last week? How much time did you spend each day, you alone with God, drinking in? Like the tree in Psalm 1, his delight is in the law of the Lord, his leaf don't wither. Is that a picture of you this morning? Are you that tree planted by the river of water of life, drinking in to your soul? You know, I'm amazed, but it seems like when people start walking away from God and falling away, you know, their Christian life is kind of going downhill. It seems like it's always tied to the river of life. You ask them, are you connected to the Word of God? Are you drinking it in? Are you living by it? Is it satisfying your heart, your soul, your spirit? You know what? Often, that's one of the first things that falls away. They're not drinking in the Word of God. And so I challenge you this morning to read the Word of God and to obey its truths. Have you ever read the Bible from cover to cover? I challenge you to do that. And last of all, how grateful are you this morning for the treasure that you hold in your hands? We often take this privilege to have God's Word. We often take it for granted. And let's not take it for granted. Let's be thankful for it. Let's be grateful for it. Let's read it. Let's live by it. And may it change us. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can know your will for us and how you want us to be, how you want us to live. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just open our eyes to the truths of your word. May we live by them. May we obey, Lord, what you teach us in your word. Lord, we're mindful of those this morning who would love to have a copy of your word and don't have one. We pray that need could be met and they could have a copy of your word. We thank you for your goodness to us and thank you for this church. Just pray your blessing, Lord, upon this church this morning. upon every person that's here and upon the leadership and ministry team here. We pray your blessing upon each one. May we together, Lord, seek your face. May we be faithful to you. May we encourage each other as we meet each other, as we go down life's pathway. Help us to be an encouragement and not a hindrance to each other. Most of all, help us to love you more. So we commit ourselves to you and thank you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.